Today we're going to be in Luke chapter 24. So go ahead and turn to it in your Bible. Almost 20 years ago, the November 2001 Sports Illustrated magazine was covering the Baseball World Series in which the Arizona Diamondbacks recovered from a slump to defeat the New York Yankees. It was in the last inning of the final game. It started the editors thinking about the greatest comebacks in history. So they produced their list of the top 10 comebacks of all time. All kinds of things were on the list. Elvis Presley was on it as a result of his TV special in 1968 that revived his sagging career. Muhammad Ali made the list when he returned from his mandatory 7-year exile from boxing to reclaim the world championship. I can still picture him in my mind going around saying, "I am the greatest. I am the greatest." Anyways, Harry Truman made the cut because of his 1948 victory over Thomas Dewey when all the polls had him losing by a large margin. You know what that means, don't you? You just can't trust election polls. When Michael Jordan gave up his basketball, or gave up on baseball and returned to his first love of basketball, he found a spot on the top 10 comebacks of all time. Even humanity was on the list after recovering from the Black Plague of the 14th century when 25 million Europeans died. Number two among the all-time comebacks was a tie between Japan and Germany. They were both devastated in the Second World War, but became world economic powers within a generation. And number one, named by the editors of Sports Illustrated magazine in the November 12, 2001 issue, the greatest comeback of all time is Jesus Christ from A.D. 33. It doesn't matter how strong, rich, popular, or powerful we are, death is an absolute truth for all of us. No one is exempt from death. Hebrews 9:27 tells us, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." That is an appointment you're going to keep. You might can get out of all kinds of other appointments, but you're not going to get out of this one. But death wasn't the destiny of Jesus Christ. Since he was God in the flesh, death could not keep him. Let's look at our scripture passage for today. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments," as two angels. "Then as they," the women, "were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they," that's the angels, "said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words." May God bless the reading of his word today. Listen to what Romans chapter 6, verse 9 says. "Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. Since he was God in the flesh, death couldn't keep him." Today, we celebrate Easter, the greatest comeback of all time. And talking about comebacks, I pray the United States and the world experiences an amazing comeback after this coronavirus runs its course. I pray that we experience an economic comeback a healthcare comeback, and especially a spiritual comeback. I'm praying that Christians realize how much we need Jesus and how much we need each other and flock back to the church when we can open the doors once again. At Easter, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the greatest comeback of all time. So first, let's look at an explanation of the importance of the resurrection. What is it about the resurrection that is just so important? The resurrection separates Jesus from all the other religious leaders of the world. You see, death could not keep him. Death kept Muhammad and Buddha and Confucius. Their religious teachings made an impact on the world, but they died never to be seen alive again. But Jesus was more than a great teacher, more than a great man. Jesus was and is God. And he proved his superiority over all religious teachers by conquering the grave. Stan Jantz, the president and CEO of the Evangelical Christian Publishers Association, he said this: "To this day, hundreds of millions of people put their faith in Muhammad, Buddha, or Confucius, but they all died centuries ago. Not one of them rose from the dead. None even claimed that they would come back from the dead. Of all the great spiritual leaders who walked the earth, Jesus is the only one who died and then rose again from the dead." Jesus' resurrection is the most important and essential part of our faith. If the resurrection didn't happen, then the claims of the New Testament are nothing more than a lie. This is how important the resurrection is. No resurrection, no Christianity. The resurrection is important to our faith because it's what guarantees who Jesus was and the truth of his teachings. Listen, if there was no resurrection of Christ, then our faith is based on the teachings of a mere man and a liar at that. Think about this for just a moment. What if there was no resurrection? What if the resurrection of Jesus is just a story? Suppose for a moment that today, some archaeologist in the Middle East was digging around and discovered a body in an unopened tomb that was about 2,000 years old. And through all kinds of scientific experiments, they were able to determine beyond a shadow of a doubt that this body was the body of Jesus Christ. Now, this could never happen, but what if it did? To some people, it wouldn't matter at all, even to some who say they're Christians. I talked about this very thing with a man, and he told me that it wouldn't matter to him at all if Jesus' body was still in a tomb somewhere. But listen, it does matter. If they found his body, then at least three things are true. First off, if there was no resurrection, then there's no life after death. If Jesus stayed in the grave, then so will we. If his work on earth ended at the cross, then he can't give life to anyone because you can't give away what you don't have in the first place. If I promise to give you $1 million, that would be a worthless promise. You see, I don't have $1 million. And since I don't have $1 million, I can't give you $1 million. So if there was no resurrection, then there's no life after death. Second, if there was no resurrection, then there's no meaning in life. This world is a pretty meaningless place without the hope of eternity. 1 Corinthians 15:19 tells us, "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men." Again, if there's no resurrection, there's no meaning in life. Thirdly, if there was no resurrection, then there's also no forgiveness of sins. 1 Corinthians 15:17 says, "And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile or useless, and you're still in your sins." The resurrection of Jesus Christ is absolutely essential for us to have any hope at all. Essential means indispensable, cannot do without. Listen, church, there's absolutely no hope for a meaningful life without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Back in 1980, a country singer by the name of Johnny Lee recorded a song that says, "Looking for love in all the wrong places." But the truth is that most people have been looking for love and looking for meaning in all the wrong places since that first Easter morning. Where are you looking, hoping to find love and meaning? In relationships, money, status, in your good health? Listen, folks, just look around. All that stuff can be taken from you in an instant. There's an explanation of the importance of the resurrection. One more time, if there is no resurrection, then there's no life after death, no meaning in life, and no forgiveness of sins. Now, let's look at an examination of the integrity of the resurrection. Because the resurrection of Jesus is so important to our faith, I want you to know without a shadow of a doubt that it happened just as the Bible said. There was a man who was asked by his friends, "Why did you become a Christian?" And he told them, "Well, it's like this. Suppose you were going down the road and suddenly the road forked in two directions and you didn't know which way to go. And there at the fork in the road were two men, one dead and one alive. Which one would you ask for directions?" Listen, when it comes to the resurrection, you can just take what God's word for it. That's faith, and that's good. If God said it, then that's good enough for me. Really, it is. But you can also investigate the facts and see that there's a mountain of evidence that supports the truth of the resurrection. I know it's pretty difficult for some people to believe that a person could come back from the dead. That's why I want to give you four proofs that point to the reality, the integrity of the resurrection. First, consider the proof of the empty tomb. It's hard to deny the fact that Jesus' tomb was empty. No one was ever able to produce a body. The second proof is the testimony of the eyewitnesses. Listen, there wasn't just one or two people who saw Jesus after he rose from the grave. There were a whole bunch of people who saw Jesus alive after his death. The third proof is the transformation of the 12 disciples. What else could explain the change in the lives of these disciples except the power of the resurrection? After Jesus was crucified, the 11 remaining disciples were hiding in a room. They were afraid the same thing that happened to Jesus would happen to them. But after seeing Jesus alive again, after seeing Jesus after the resurrection, they became bold and courageous. They were no longer afraid of what could possibly happen to them. The fourth and final proof is the work of Jesus today. The risen Jesus is still working in people's lives today. Around the world, the gospel message of Jesus Christ is spreading like wildfire, even in places where being a Christian, being a follower of Christ, will cost you your life. Yes, Jesus still touches lives today. There are those who are a part of this church and Bible-believing churches all around the world who will tell you the same thing about their lives. The power of Jesus has touched them. They will tell you that Jesus' resurrection power has freed them from alcohol or drug addiction. It has saved their marriages. It's brought them out of deep depression, and it's given them a purpose And the list just goes on and on and on about the great work that Jesus' resurrection power has done. Some of them will tell you that the reason they are still alive today is because they met the risen Jesus. The greatest comeback of all time, greater than Elvis Presley, Muhammad Ali, Harry Truman, Michael Jordan, Japan and Germany, and even humanity of the 14th century, and any other comeback that has ever been or ever will be, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen, maybe you need a comeback. Maybe life has you down, and maybe life has you feeling defeated. You can place your faith and trust in the greatest comeback of all time, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead," that's the resurrection, "you will be saved." Through Jesus, you can experience victory both in this life and in the next. Listen, death couldn't keep Jesus Christ down. And if you'll truly trust in him, there's nothing that's going to keep you down either. Now, I'm not saying you trust in him and life from that point on is going to be a cakewalk. Don't get me wrong. We will all still experience difficulties and trials and troubles. But what I'm saying is they won't keep you down. Because of the resurrection of Christ, they're not going to keep you down either. Pastor and author Ray Stedman said this, "The resurrection is not only good news, it is the best news possible." That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to save you today, to give you eternal life today. There's no better day to make a decision to turn your life over to Jesus than today. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 tells us that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what that word whoever means? That means anybody. And there are some people who say, "Well, preacher, you don't know what I've done." No, I don't know what you've done. But Jesus knows what you've done, and he says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Won't you call on him today? You know, it would be so sad, so tragic, if you just listened to this message about the empty tomb, but didn't let the loving Savior who won the victory over sin and death change your life forever. Listen, if you need a relationship with God the Father through God the Son, Jesus Christ, I got some good news for you. I can help you with that today. If you haven't called on his name, I can help you do just that. If you will pray and ask Jesus from the bottom of your heart to save you, Scripture says he will. He will give you new life today. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. This is a prayer that you only need to pray once, because when Jesus saves you, he keeps you forever. And listen, it's not even the words of this prayer that's all that important. It's the desire, it's the intent of your heart that matters. If you want Jesus to change your life today, you pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I can't save myself. I know that my sin has separated me from you. I believe that you died on a cross to pay the penalty for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the dead. And Jesus, right now, the best that I know how, I ask you to forgive me of my sin, and I ask you to be my Savior and my Lord. I give my life to you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen for just one more moment. If you prayed this prayer, based on the authority of God's Word, you have been saved. You now have an eternal relationship with God the Father. Now, I encourage you to grow in that brand new relationship with God. Here's a few things that can help you do that. First off, read your Bible regularly. If you're not in the habit of that, I encourage you to start in the book of John. It's a great place to start. Next is to begin to develop a habit of prayer. Prayer is conversation between you and God. It's just telling God what's on your heart and then listen quietly for His Holy Spirit to respond. Begin to pray. Thirdly is get involved in a Bible-believing church. A church where the Bible is taught, where the Bible is proclaimed, and where Jesus is worshipped. And if we can help you with any of these things, please let us know. Thank you, and God bless you.